Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association.
Management gurus have always said people matter, but those same gurus still relegate strategy to an elite set of executives who focus on frameworks, long presentations, and hierarchical approaches. After many years of working with Apple, Adobe, HP, and many other companies, Nilufer Merchant discovered the best way to create a winning strategy, which she details in her book, The New How, Creating Business Solutions Through Collaborative Strategy. Welcome to Edgewise, Nilufer.
Thank you, Dave.
Well, let's go right to the heart of the matter. What's wrong with the way companies approach strategy?
Most companies are still doing strategy with the C-suite driving it. Mm-hmm. When they're taking that approach, what happens is things come down from on high to the people who are actually going to do and make something real. And the group that is going to make something real know the operational reality. And they often look up at the C-suite and say, you know, you just don't get it. You don't get our business today. And there's this gap that's happening in the organization.
Right.
When we treat strategy as discrete, as different than execution, then we have this lack of decision-making, lack of trade-offs, lack of debate.
Hmm. Right.
It's not like anybody's trying to do anything wrong. It's just that we're doing too much of this throw things over the wall stuff inside companies, even though we know better.
And how would you overcome this?
The big thing is in how we formulate strategy itself.
Sure.
If we get the people involved that are going to make something real, and we have voluntary participation in a process that says, hey, we got this problem to solve. Come help us figure out the right strategy or the right innovation approach. You get a group of people who deeply care about it to come and create that strategy. And it's in the formulation itself that we move strategy from the noun to strategizing the verb.
Right. Could you expand on that?
My basic premise is we have knowledgeable, creative people working inside our organizations, but we don't treat them that way. We treat them like they're there to do stuff. I think the people inside our organizations want to figure out what the right solution is. They often know what the problem is very well, and they want to come together to solve that problem.
Hmm.
If we engage them in the process, they'll actually create the right solution, and they'll own it, and they'll cross that finish line for us.
So when your book refers to the new how, is that what you're referring to as the way to address this?
Absolutely. We have talented people, and we need to figure out how to engage them in the process. Peter Drucker talked about engaging employees 30 years ago, and we're still not doing it. For me, it's just as simple as the way in which you go about doing strategy, mm-hmm. how you formulate it can cause that engagement. It's not something we do after we've done the strategy. It's the way in which we do the strategy itself.
Now, everything that's been written about engagement deals with implementation of strategy and not the thinking process involved, right?
Yeah, and it just represents a different era. If you think about 50 years ago when we were, let's say, making cars, we made something. Then what we needed is people who could be strong and produce.
Mm-hmm.
In the information era, when we made chips, then we needed people who knew a lot technically. Today, we're in this creative world, a creative era, I might call it.
Okay.
A lot of what we're actually doing is about the ideas. And ideas aren't anything until they're made real. So we need to figure out how to have a more appropriate approach, a less hierarchical approach when we do this kind of creative work.
All right. We've been talking about a collaborative workforce for a long time. The difference here is the focus on strategy rather than simply on getting the work done.
Yeah. So people always say, well, how do I start? For me, it's start with the toughest business problem you have, or the second toughest, or the third toughest. But choose a tough problem and get a team of people to solve that problem, because then they will actually care enough and know when they solve that problem what it means to the bottom line.
Yeah.
This is not about feeling good. I don't care whether or not we feel good. I care whether or not we create better business outcomes. And it's the outcomes that are failing inside businesses. And I know when I've done this with teams, they create a better business outcome. And we didn't talk about how we felt about it. We just went out and approached it well, so that ultimately that group, regardless of what happened in execution mode, mm-hmm. knew how to adjust, because they knew the why of what they were doing, not just the what of what they were asked to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as a leader, how do you transform the organization into this more collaborative strategic planning process? Now, I would think if you're not the person who collaborates with others at a lower level, this represents a bit of a change.
The role of leader has to change. In the book, I came up with this concept, chief of answers.
Right.
I was trying to find a very non-judgmental way to describe what we often do as leaders. Most of us mm-hmm. became leaders because we're incredibly talented and smart. So we think often our role is to have the answer. I think when we become the chief of answers, we've created a bottleneck inside the organization, because it means people have to come through us and to us for answers.
Ooh.
What it also does, as soon as you're the chief of answers, it makes everyone else the tribe of doing things. And I'm just not convinced that is a model that lets you be as nimble as you need to be in this marketplace.
So for the leader, it improves the quality of the strategic plan, and makes the company a stronger company.
It does. And that person doesn't have to do as much in the long run. They certainly still have to have the right vision. They need to be a good storyteller, all that. They need to facilitate the process. But they don't have to do every single thing that happens in the business. So in some ways, it's also a way to lighten the load.
Right. And the culture also has to be special for this kind of approach.
The culture has to change. Culture is a combination of what each of us does over time. So I think leaders need to stop being the chief of answers. And I think individuals need to step up and really engage the process and assume that their voice matters. So it's not enough to look at the corner when somebody asks a tough question and go, oh, I hope they don't call on me because I don't really want to say this hard thing. We need to figure out a way to say what it is we know is the right thing for the business.
Exactly. Okay, I keep hearing the term, the new norm. Now, the way companies operate, the roles of leaders and managers are constantly changing. Do you see this as part of the new norm?
It is part of the new norm.
So can you talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. From leaders' perspective, going from being the teller to being the storyteller, being the one that can create meaning for people so that many people can make decisions. Instead of saying, hey, you do this and you do that, which you come back and say, this is what's going on for our organization, and here's what our context is, and here's what we're facing, and here's what we think is important and what our core competencies are. Now, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
And then for individuals, it goes from being what I'll call an individual contributor, which is quite often how we think about our own title, to being a co-creator, which is a very different role.
Exactly.
It's not enough if I do my job and you do your job, because it's the gap between the jobs where failure is going to happen. So it has to become, how do we co-create the solution and how do we co-own the outcome?
So what would be the role of managers in this setup? Would the managers be responsible for preparing the employees for the new role that they'll be playing?
Absolutely. You know, managers need to figure out how to put the right people on teams and figure out how to formulate teams, how to set them in the right direction, maybe manage the process more rather than the outcome. And then here's the key thing, demand more of that team. Put them in a room and just say to them, you're responsible for figuring it out, and I believe in you enough to go figure it out, and then they'll step up.
You mentioned in the book that this collaborative approach will help you choose the best ideas among many. How does that work?
Here's the basic thing about collaboration. Most people don't collaborate because what they're worried about is opening up the Pandora's box of a whole bunch of ideas, a whole bunch of options, a whole bunch of people who now have their opinion on the table. And the problem with that is now that you have more ideas, you need a way to pick. I think one of the reasons companies don't collaborate today is they don't have a way of picking.
Yeah.
So the concept and the word that I've put to that is murder boarding.
Uh-huh.
It's a really fun concept in the book. It's the opposite of whiteboarding, which is coming up with ideas. We need to know essentially how to go from that divergence of ideas to convergence and clarity. And murder boarding is the way in which to do it. You might call it the ground rules to fight fair within an organization that would allow a group of people to be able to make a tough qualitative decision.
And does this also help with the strategy execution?
Absolutely. It's one and the same. If you do good formulation of the direction and that group of people has taken responsibility, in many ways, you don't have to check in as much because that group will own it. It's theirs. They made it. And people will always go make successful the thing they created.
And how do you get them to own it?
Engage them in the formulation process itself.
Right.
The step that's in the quest process is called taking responsibility, not tasking people with it. So have the conversation of, okay, who owns what? And how will you know when it's successful? And how will you know if it's failing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's an amazing conversation to have. It's a relatively simple conversation in some ways that you can have late in a project process. And then from that point on, groups know because they've had the right sync points when to check back in with each other.
I'm just curious, don't you think managers would be uneasy about doing this, especially if they haven't confronted this problem in the past?
If you do this once through with one business problem, you can see how it works and then figure out how to duplicate it. I've never recommended doing this as a thing from on high. I think about it as an organic process like most of our businesses are today. How do you actually solve a problem and have that team have success? Then go solve the next problem because we have enough of them in our business today. It's not like we're missing opportunities to use the collaborative approach.
If you were to offer some activities to begin the process you're advocating, what would those be?
I think we need to figure out how to bring failure into the room in the conversations when we go out and figure out what to do next. Discuss failure on every project.
Now, why is that?
I think too often we gloss over or miss the opportunity to talk about failure. The minute you bring failure into the room and you say, what is it we could fail at? Where are the risk opportunities? The funny thing happens, you'll think that conversation didn't lead to a different outcome, but you'll notice that we'll never have failure.
Uh-huh.
Because as soon as you talk it through, then somebody has a chance to think ahead. What will happen in 3 months? What will happen in 6 months? Where could we fail? And in the process, they're actually going to go problem solve that. Inadvertent consequence kind of thing.
Right. That's definitely true.
Next thing is, I think we need to figure out how to fight fair. Murder boarding certainly is one defined, clear process. Regardless of whether it's murder boarding or some other process, the group needs to have a structured way to go through and make tough choices together. Until you have a common agreement, a common framework to deal with making those tough choices, people continue to avoid issues because they don't want to be seen as being political or adversarial. Mm-hmm. So we've got to have a way to engage that. Otherwise, we're never going to get the best ideas. And the next thing is to figure out, what are the ground rules for collaboration for that culture? Because each team has to come to it in their own way. So how will we, I sometimes call that mind the gap. Failure today is not happening because of any particular role. So all the people in the roles are not necessarily failing. But when businesses fail, whether it's Toyota's recent example or other things, it's because a system is failing. And we too easily blame people when really we can fix the system. So I want people to have more conversations about what is our mind the gap rules that will allow us to say, we fail together, we win together, but it's not an I win or you win situation.
Niloufer, do you have any final thoughts you want to leave us with?
What I've proposed today is both incredibly simple and complex, but I want to challenge everyone to just really think about, how could you take this home? How could you drive a more nimble organization because of the way in which we work together? Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that can start with each of us rather than waiting for some kind of institutional process change.
Our guest today has been Niloufer Merchant. Her new book is entitled The New How, Creating Business Solutions Through Collaborative Strategy. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you, Dave.
Have you attended an AMA webcast? These free one-hour programs deliver practical insight into the latest business issues as well as leadership and management challenges. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events.
Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.